And as Joshua said, remember the drive in church, 3 o'clock. Encourage others to come along to hear some good music and for the preaching of the gospel at 3 p.m. This afternoon. We're coming to Joshua chapter 14. We're actually looking at a number of chapters this morning, but I'm going to take a reading just right in the middle, and you'll understand hopefully later on when we explain what we're doing this morning. Joshua chapter 17, and we're beginning to read at the verse number 14, please. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? And Joshua answered them, If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. And the children of Joseph said, The hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Bethshean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one knot only. But the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. Into chapter 18, verse 1, And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh, and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there. And the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes, which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, How long are ye slack to go and possess the land, which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? And we'll finish at verse number 3, and we are looking to the Lord to bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts again this morning. We've now come to this part of the story in the book of Joshua where it's difficult sometimes to read the chapters. You just read about the distribution of the land, and it's very repetitive, and sometimes we struggle to find something in it for the people of God. Really, in these 4 chapters, there's an outline of how the land is going to be distributed to each of the tribes. Already 2.5 tribes have received their allocation on the east side, Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Chapter 15 is taken up with Judah's allocation, this being the tribe from which the Messiah would come. They were first to receive their inheritance on the west side of the Jordan. Chapter 16 and 17 are taken up with the allocation of the 2 tribes called after Joseph's son, Manasseh and Ephraim. Remember, the Levites have no inheritance, no land. They're given various cities to dwell in. So Joseph's sons make up the 2 to make sure there are 12 tribes in Israel. And when we go to Genesis chapter 41, we discover something interesting about Manasseh and Ephraim, Joseph's sons. Remember how Joseph wanted his dad, Jacob, to bless them, and the rules would be that the elders should be blessed first or receive the greater blessing. But when Joseph brought the sons, Jacob did something very strange. He crossed his hands. And the right hand was put upon the youngest of the sons, not the firstborn, but the secondborn. And Joseph protested, but Jacob knew exactly what he was doing. I remember an old preacher saying one time that the blessing comes through the cross. The blessing comes through the cross. But you know, how often in Scripture is the second one preferred above the first one? How often in Scripture is the second born preferred above the firstborn? And I think there's a little lesson for us there this morning. You find it with Cain and Abel. You find it with Ishmael and Isaac. And you find it with Esau and Jacob. The second birth is preferred to the first birth. And of course, that's a lesson for us that we need to be born again. We need to have the second birth. That's how we know the blessing of God. That's how you can be blessed this morning if you're listening and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the words of our Savior. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. I'm told in the original Hebrew, there's a time lapse between chapter 17 and chapter 18. In verse 1 of chapter 18, we discover the tabernacle being erected in Shiloh. We read that this morning, verse number 1. The whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation, and the land was subdued before them. This was a central location, and of course, it reminds us very simply that Christ should be at the center of everything. Where the Lord would dwell was going to be the central point. We then move on down chapter 18, verse 11. Benjamin will hear of his allocation. When we come into chapter 19, verse 1, Simeon, verse 10, Zebulun, verse 17, Issachar, verse 24, Asher, verse 32, Naphtali, and verse 40, Dan. As you can see, it's just a whole list of the land being distributed throughout the 12 tribes of Israel. When we come into chapter 19 and verse 51, we discover Joshua receives his inheritance. Remember, Caleb had his. Well, now Joshua receives his inheritance. And we'll say a bit more about that later on this morning. Just a few simple points before we look for something for God's people this morning. Remember, we said this before, when it came to the dividing of the land, it was before the Lord. We read that in Joshua 19, verse 51. This was the Lord's doing. There should be no jealousy. There should be no envy. People should be happy with what they'd been given because God had given it to them. And of course, when it comes to us living in this age, living in this dispensation, how we should be content with the gifts that God has given to us. It was God's choice. But you know, there was a grave calamity as well. Over and over again, we read these words. For instance, in Joshua 15, verse 63, as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. We see something similar in Joshua 16, verse 10. And they drave not out the Canaanites. Again in Joshua 17, verse 12. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities. Over and over again we see that they were unable to raid the land of the Canaanites. If we could apply it spiritually, they failed to rid the land of Satan's influence. You know, as we read these tribes, we discover different reasons for this, but some of them seem to be happy just with a portion. They didn't really want to reach their full potential. And that's the question I want to ask you this morning. Over and over again, these tribes failed to take everything that God had for them. They were happy with the portion, but didn't want to reach their potential. For you this morning, are you happy with the portion? Or do you really want to reach your potential? Sometimes we hear about sporting people when they win something that they've reached their potential. I wonder, spiritually, are you interested in reaching your potential? Possessing all the possessions that God has for you, spiritually speaking. We see that they weren't able to drive out these Canaanites, and yet God was on their side, and it's the same for you. And die today. We read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are on the victory side. They were on the victory side. And yet over and over again, they were unable to get rid of the Canaanites. Let me give you a few suggestions this morning. For some, it was weakness. We read on a couple of occasions that they could not drive out the inhabitants. Chapter 15, verse 63. And chapter 17, verse 12. It's just a scene that they felt so weak. When you look at the Canaanites, we read that the Canaanites would not leave. They had willpower, they had determination. But here was the people of God, and there seemed to be a weakness among the people of God. Sometimes, again, and I'm using another sporting illustration, when two teams are playing and it's close and one of the teams gets the victory, sometimes you'll hear the people say they wanted it more. They wanted it more. It seems that the Canaanites wanted it more than God's people. Is it a portion for you this morning? Or do you really want to reach your potential? There was weakness. There was also a compromise as well. For instance, in chapter 17, verse 13, we read this, that it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxing strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. God says, drive them out. But they decided rather than drive them out, they would leave them there and they would take tribute from them. They would take taxes from them. It would make them to become their servants. But that was compromise. That's not what God asked them to do. And sometimes we're happy with our portion rather than the potential that God has for us. And sometimes it's through weakness. We're not trusting the Lord. We don't want it enough. Sometimes it's through compromise. Sometimes it's through slackness. We read this verse this morning, chapter 18, verse 3. How long are ye slack to go and possess the land? The word slack means to relax. It means to let down. And some would say that they were lazy and slothful. And they give preference to ease and pleasure rather than the work of possessing the entire land. I don't know what your reason is this morning. Maybe you've reached your potential. Maybe you're on a spiritual high this morning and God is blessing you. May God continue to encourage you. Maybe you find this morning that you're just content with that portion. Is there weakness? Is there compromise? Is there slackness this morning? Let's see what we can learn from these verses quickly this morning. I want first of all to see a lesson on eagerness. Come to Joshua chapter 17 and we're going to read from verse number 3 just to give you a bit of the background here. We're just going to pick out little incidents in these chapters, and we trust the Lord will make the application by the Spirit of God this morning. We're looking at five women in verse number 3 of Joshua 17. But Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, had no sons, but daughters, and these are the names of his daughters. This man has five daughters, Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. And these five daughters want to claim their inheritance. They're keen to reach their potential. They're keen to possess their possessions. But you know, they're working against the odds. Look at verse number 4. And they came before Eleazar the priest and before Joshua the son of Nun and before the princes, saying, the Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brethren. Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among the brethren of their father. They are going to receive their inheritance. Now, this story takes us back to Numbers chapter 21. Turn back to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 27, please. Just to see a little bit of the background here. These are five ladies who really wanted to fulfill their potential. They weren't happy with any portion. They weren't happy with God's second best. They were keen. They were enthusiastic. Look at Numbers chapter 27, verse 1. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad. I'm not going to read all those names again, but you can see that these are the same women. Look at verse number 2. And they stood before Moses and before Eleazar the priest and before the princes and all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but he died in his own sin. Let me stop there, fathers. Here are five daughters, and they're testifying that their dad died in his own sin. He died in unbelief. If there's a father listening this morning and you don't know Christ, don't ever have your daughter to say that you died in your own sin. Make sure you die in Christ. And then you'll be with Christ for all eternity. This man had no sons, as you can see here at the end of verse number 3. He had no sons. As the law stood, the inheritance could only pass on to sons. And so these girls were really having to fight against everything to try and get what they believed the Lord would want them to have. Look at verse 4. Why should the name of her father be done away with from among his family, because he hath no son? Give us therefore a possession among the brethren of our father. And Moses brought their cause before the Lord, and is brought before the Lord. Look at verse 8. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a man die and have no son, then you shall cause an inheritance to pass unto his daughter. You see, these ladies weren't content. They weren't content to be second best. They weren't content to have second best. They weren't happy to have a portion. They wanted the full inheritance. And so, fighting against the odds, they have the enthusiasm and they have the zeal. I wonder, do you have that this morning? Here's a lesson on enthusiasm. You know what they were told? They were told, just in case it would be a zeal without knowledge, they were told that they were only to marry men from the same tribe so that the inheritance would remain in that tribe. So it wasn't a zeal without knowledge. It was going to be a zeal with knowledge. But really, I just want to ask you the question this morning. How much do you really want this morning? How much do you want to be on the mountaintop with the Lord? How much do you want to have your full potential realized? Are you content just with a portion this morning? And these sisters would certainly teach us a lesson on eagerness. You see, in the Christian life, there's no middle ground. General Douglas MacArthur said, in war, there is no substitute for victory. It's either victory or defeat. There's no middle ground here. You either want to be on the victory side, or you're content with a portion just this morning. There's a lesson on eagerness here. Look at Joshua chapter 17 again. I want you to see, secondly, some lamentable envy here. I'm just picking out some little lessons to share with you this morning. And I trust that the Lord will apply these as the Spirit of God sees fit this morning. Look at Joshua 17, verse 12. Here are some people not happy with what they've got. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in the land. And here are Manasseh, and we'll see Ephraim as well, the two sons of Joseph, these two tribes, and they're not happy with their allocation. Look at verse 13. Yet it came to pass, when the children of Israel were waxing strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. They didn't drive out the Canaanites from the possession. Here comes the complaint in verse 14. These are the two sons of Joseph, the tribes from Joseph. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? Here was an uncommon complaint, because most of the other tribes seemed to accept their allotment, but they were saying, we deserve more. We were such a big tribe, put the two of them together. We should get more than one lot. The truth is, they did get more than one lot. You'll remember that Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh, half the tribe of Manasseh, had already received a lot on the east side of the Jordan. Ephraim had already had a lot, and Manasseh had a lot. They actually had three lots. And they're complaining they just had one. So often, if you scrape away the complaints, you'll find it's built on a lie. It's built on a lie. What are you complaining about this morning? Is there truth behind it? Is it real? Is it built on something that you have fabricated? You see, they had taken an inventory of their own, what they thought they should have, and what they had, and they weren't happy. But it was false. Look at verse 14 again, and Joshua 17. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast they given us but one lot, and one portion to inherit, seeing I'm a great people? They seem to be filled with pride, and they wanted more, but there was a problem here. Look at verse 15. And Joshua answered them, If thou be a great people, I think there's a little hint of sarcasm or irony there, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. You know what Joshua's telling them to do? Go and conquer what I've already given you. Go and possess what God has given you. Verse 16. And the children of Joseph said, The hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Bethshean and their towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. We can't do that. We want more. They wanted more, but they didn't want to fight. You know, there used to be, I know they're reduced greatly in these days, what was called an hereditary peerage. In other words, if my dad was in the House of the Lords, then I would automatically become a Lord and could go to the House of the Lords. Now I know they're greatly reduced in these days. Well, these people, they wanted the title deed, but they didn't want to have to fight for it. The hereditary peers got the title just because of the family they were born into. And really, this is what they're saying. They want to have more, but they're not willing to fight for it. They're not willing to work for it. Look at verse 17 again in Joshua 17. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even unto Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people, thou hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is the wood, And thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. And Joshua is repeating again, go and conquer what God has given you. Go and conquer what God has already given you. You know, there are some lessons from this morning. You know, there's a lot of people that want to know a lot about the Word of God. Do you know how you know something about God's Word? Obey the Word that God has given you already. And maybe you're stuck at a commandment. You're stuck at a challenge and God has spoken to you. And you're wondering why that God has nothing more to say. I want to know more. But God's saying, listen, when you obey what I have given you, then I'll reveal more of my precious Word to you. And you see, there's some people who want more to do for the Lord. And maybe the Lord's saying to you this morning, do what I've given you to do and do it to the glory of God first. They wanted more. But God had already given them plenty. But it involved work, it involved battles, it involved fighting. And they didn't want that. They wanted to have the title deed, but they didn't want any bother. They didn't want to get up and to have to battle for it. Some people, even in secular positions, will say, you know why? I would like a new job. And maybe God's saying to you, that may be well, but do the job you have to my glory first of all. Are you faithful? Are you committed? Are you dedicated to what the Lord has given to you? Some people want a greater position. They feel they're capable of greater things. Here's what the Lord said in Luke 16, verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. And the Lord is saying, if I can't trust you with what I have given to you now, why should I give you more? And these two tribes were just exactly the same. There was the mountain. Oh, but there's trees there. What are we going to do about the trees? There's the enemies there. There's the plain. But listen, there's chariots of iron. What are we going to do? Look again at verse number 12. And chapter 17, and the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in the land. They couldn't drive them out. Is there some sin that you can't deal with? And this sin is holding you back, and God's saying, I can do nothing with you until that sin is sorted. Now look at verse 16, because here's another lesson. And the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron. Both they are of Bethshean and are towns, but they who are of the valley of Jezreel. We're not able to drive them out. Are you saying, listen, we're just not able to deal with his sin? Listen. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Will you confess your sin this morning? Is this sin so precious that is holding you, and I'm talking to believers this morning, it's holding you back from possessing your possessions and reaching your potential? You know, there's another lesson here. Look at verse 13 in Joshua 17. Yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxing strong, they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. Here's another way of dealing with sin. You know, I'm not going to drive the sin out. I can manage the sin. And they made the Canaanites tribute to them. It's like saying, like, this sin is no bother to me. I can master this sin. Listen, you can't handle sin. Sin will handle you. Sin will take control. Give it a foothold, and the devil will make it a stronghold. Do you see the little pictures I'm trying to paint this morning? Oh, I can't drive out the Canaanites. I can't get rid of this sin. Yes, you can. Oh, I can handle this sin. I can master this sin. I can live with this sin. I'm in control of this sin. No, you're not. And that sin will take you further than you want to go. You know, one of the problems they had here was the wood, wasn't it? They couldn't handle this wood. Look at verse 18 again. I'm thinking of this lamental envy here. But the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood. And thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have chariots of iron, and though they be strong. But you know, here's a mountain. Remember Caleb said, give me this mountain. Nothing would hold Caleb back. Here are the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. Here's the mountain. And Joshua says, go and take the mountain. Cut down the wood. And you know, I was thinking about the wood, and I know I'm stepping outside the exposition of Scripture at this, and I'm just making an application. I trust you will allow me this morning. Sometimes the trees would speak of clutter. Our lives are so cluttered, there's nothing wrong with a tree. But there's so many trees in your life, and there's so much clutter. And maybe lockdown has taught you there's an awful lot of things you don't need. And there's an awful lot of things you have no need to be involved in. Because your life is managed without them. And maybe you're cluttered with trees. And you can't possess what God has for you, for there's far too many trees. So many trees you haven't time to read the Word of God. So many trees you haven't time to pray. I started to think of some wood in Scripture. And you know, there are a number of times you read about wood, and I understand, I'm only making the application. Let me share a few with you this morning quickly. Deuteronomy 4 verse 28. And I've called this adoration. And there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. And here Moses is talking about how they would worship gods of stone and gods of wood. And I just thought about the wood. Is there something you need to take the axe to this morning? Do you need to get the hatchet out because you've made an idol of something? And that idol has so captivated your life that you're just happy with that wee portion and you're not interested in reaching your potential. Sometimes it's our adoration. Sometimes it's our communication. Listen carefully to Proverbs 26 verse 20. Where there is no wood, here's the wood again. Then the fire goeth out. Where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Tell me, here, you can see it, can't you, that the wood is the talebearer. Do you need to take the hatchet to your tongue? Is your tongue what's holding you back? You can't help yourself. Boy, it's gossip, 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 gossip. Doesn't matter if it's true. It's still gossip. A lot of times it's probably not true. But it's gossip, gossip, gossip. How can you ever reach your potential? You need to take the hatchet to the tongue. Sometimes it's adoration. Sometimes it's communication. Sometimes it's our occupation. Do you remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 12, he's taken us to the Bema seat and our work is being judged of the Lord. And if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver and precious stones, isn't that what we want? We want the gold, the silver and the precious stones. You know, all of them have to be mined. You have to dig for it. You have to get into it. You really have to be committed. Then there's the wood, the hay and the stubble. I'm just thinking of the wood. Cheap. Don't last. Not worth very much. Is that what you've offered the Lord? Just a heap of wood, hay, and stubble? And the quality of your work for the Lord? Certainly you wouldn't work that way for your employer if you have one. If you're an employer, you wouldn't want your employees being as half-hearted in their work for you as you are for the Lord. Whether you're a mum who keeps the home, whether you're working in the office, whether you're at school, what are you doing for the Lord? How is your attitude when it comes to the Lord? Do you need to take a hatchet to your attitude when it comes to the work of the Lord? Sometimes it's our adoration, sometimes it's our communication, sometimes our occupation, sometimes it's our dedication. Paul, writing in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, and I know I'm taking this out of context, but the gold and the silver last. And then he talks about wood and of earth, some to honour and some to dishonour. You see, let me apply it like this morning. There are people in the church and they're like gold and silver. Boy, you could count on them. Always there, committed, committed, committed. Some are like the wood and the earthenware. here today, gone tomorrow. Hot today, cold tomorrow. No durability, no dedication. Do you need to take the hatchet to your lukewarm attitude? Is there wood in the way this morning from you reaching your potential? Is it a problem of commitment? Is it adoration? Is it communication? Is it occupation? Is it dedication? You see the lesson on eagerness. You see the lamentable envy. You see the lack of enthusiasm. We could mention many other things this morning, but for the sake of time, could it be that you just don't care? Look at chapter 18, verse 2. And there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes, which had not yet received their inheritance. Seven tribes, they seem to be happy to sit back, let everybody else do the work. There seems to be a laziness, a lethargy about them, a layaboutness about them. Look at verse 3. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long shall you slack? Is there a slackness with you this morning? See the period, how long, you see the problem, slackness, you see the possession, you see you could lose it. You could lose it. Didn't Mordecai tell Esther, if she didn't step up to the mark, you know, God would raise someone else up? What will you miss fulfilling your potential? I want to finish off this morning. We've looked at a lesson in eagerness, a lamentable envy, a lack of enthusiasm. I want to finish with a lovely example, because I want to think about Joshua again this morning. You know, remember Manasseh and Ephraim, they wanted more. We're told in Numbers 13, verse 8, of the tribe of Ephraim, Joshua. Joshua was of the tribe of Ephraim. I wonder, did they think, because he's the same tribe, he'll surely show us favoritism? You know, Joshua was a man of integrity. He wasn't going to show favoritism. He was living like the Lord. He was no man's debtor, and he was the respecter of no man. He wasn't going to take sides with someone or treat someone better than others just because he happened to be related to them. And it was on the western side of the Jordan, in Joshua chapter 15, you discover that Judah first receives an inheritance. And then when you read through these chapters, you find that everybody else gets their inheritance. Who comes last? Joshua. Do you see the lovely example from Joshua? Joshua got his entire inheritance in Joshua 19, verse 50. According to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-Serah. Remember the name Timnath-Serah? Do you know what Joshua did? With Judah getting first, remember Christ came from Judah. It was Christ first. Do you remember everybody else? It was Christ first, then others. And here at the last is Joshua. Isn't this so hard to practice? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Yes, Christ first. Paul said in Philippians 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind. Listen, let each esteem others better than themselves. Are you out for number one? Would you walk over the top of others to get what you want? Not Joshua. Joshua put Christ first. He put others second. And he put himself last. Joshua 19, verse 49. And when they had made an end of dividing the land for their inheritance by their coast, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua, the son of Nun. Notice, he was given it by the children of Israel. God didn't, there was nothing underhand. And you see Joshua's integrity right to the end. See the type of man that Joshua was. Tell me, do you want to reach your potential? Or are you happy just with a portion this morning? Will you be like Joshua? Will you honestly say it's Christ first? It's going to be others second. And I'm going to take last. And God blessed Joshua. And God blessed him abundantly. You know, he got the place called Timnath Sarah. In Judges 2 verse 9 it's called Timnath-Heres. And one it means an abundance, a portion of abundance. And the other it means a portion of the sun, S-U-N. Can you imagine an abundance of the sun? F.B. Meyer has a little daily devotional and he wrote about this very name, the portion of the sun. He says there, you have the warmth of his love. This is what he said, the warmth of his love shall fill your emotions with its glow and teach you the art of love. Couldn't we do with that? Couldn't we do with that abundance of the sun? S-O-N. He goes on to say, it'll also show you the light of truth. The light of truth shall banish obscurity and ignorance from your mind and endue it with direct and certain knowledge. Oh, a portion of the sun, the abundance of the sun. My, you've got the warmth of his love, you've got the light of his truth, and you've got the ray of his presence that gives you life and health and gladness and strength. And Joshua got all of this. But he put Christ first. He put others second. And he put himself last. Husbands should know the truth of this. Because the moment you marry, you're saying you will love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself to it. In other words, your wife's happiness, contentment, is more important than your own. And you'll put her needs before your needs. And for the child of God, it's Christ first. It's others second. It's ourselves last. That we might have the abundance of the Son. That we might have the warmth of his love, the light of his truth, and the ray of his presence. Bethany's going to sing in a few moments, Abide With Me. One of the lines in Abide With Me says this, the darkness deepens. Isn't the darkness deepening all around us? Couldn't you and I do with an abundance of the sun? Couldn't we do with the warmth of his love, the light of his truth, and the ray of his presence? Are you happy with a portion? Or do you want to reach your potential? Maybe you need to get the hatchet out. Chop down whatever wood is getting between you and reaching your potential for the Lord. Take the hatchet out even today. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the truth of it. And Lord, we understand these passages are perhaps difficult to read. And yet, Lord, like all of God's Word, it's profitable. And Lord, we trust that the Spirit of God will take something of the Word of God and it apply it to the hearts of those who are listening this morning. Lord, if there's someone listening and they don't know Christ, Lord, it's simple. They need to be born again. Maybe there's a believer and they think they can master that sin. They can't. They need to confess it and get rid of it. Lord, maybe there are trees in their life that on the outside look harmless, but our lives are so cluttered. We're not possessing our possessions or fulfilling our potential. Lord, may the people of God be abiding in that portion of the sun, in that portion of abundance. But the warmth of his love, the light